coffee, I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boy.
I love Java, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot, now pour me a shot.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Caffeine Stream. We're here today airing live from Roberta's in Bushwick. Our sponsors today are Fairway Markets. I'd like to give a thank you so much to Jack Inslee, our producer, and our engineer, Nat Wiener. I'm Nicole Slavin. I'm joined here by Gaylene Quinn, my lovely co-host. Hi, Gaylene.
Hi, Nicole. Nice to be here, as usual.
And we are here today. We have two guests in the studio. We have Steven Sadoff of Ground Support in the lovely Soho area of Manhattan. And we have Tara Berman of Tara Page Associates, also located in Manhattan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us on the Caffeine Stream. So Gaylene is going to talk to us a little bit about Tara and Steven, and then we've got a host of questions for our guests today.
I think this is going to be a very exciting show because, as we all know, we're living through very exciting times in New York, but I think also in the U.S. in general, in everything related to coffee retailing. And we have here two people that decided to bet everything on this captive market. And I really want to talk about all the challenges because, of course, we all love coffee. We think it's amazing and we have a lot of passion into it. But I want to talk about the challenges and something that I'm personally very curious about every single time I go to a coffee shop, which is how do you differentiate your coffee shop from others. So we have here Steve that decided to recently... How long ago was this? Like
Wednesday will be our 3-month anniversary.
3 months. So, yeah. So exciting.
Thank you.
So, and you have decided to open this, your first coffee shop.
This is my first.
So this is really exciting. So we'll talk a little bit about your background and how come you decided to do this. And then we have Tara Page that is the founder of Tara Page Group. And she's a consultant. She owns a consultancy company for retail, coffee shops, bakeries, everything that has to do with this specific.
Everything under the retail umbrella.
And exactly.
And we specifically work, as you said, with bakeries, coffee shops, and in particular now a lot of coffee shops because every bakery, every chocolate shop, every gourmet market has coffee.
Yeah, and of course everybody's trying to get into the coffee, high quality coffee segment. All right, so why don't we talk a little bit about your background, Steve? How come you decided to get into this ride?
How did I decide to get into coffee shops in particular?
Yeah.
It's sort of a simplification of a bigger idea, which was opening a restaurant. I have a long personal history and a long family history in the restaurant business, and after going through enough of my life and figuring out my strengths and weaknesses, I figured I could own and operate a successful and enjoyable restaurant, and came pretty close on two separate occasions in the past few years. And during that time, had sort of already gotten ahead of myself and thought, you know what would be really fun is to have a successful restaurant and have a cafe that was like a little more personal, where you could connect with people a little bit more and sort of invest your personality into. And while I was sort of off on this tangent mentally, the frustrations I was having within the restaurant industry were engineering kitchens and kitchen staffs and keeping up with the sort of artistic temperament of chefs, which I sort of have one of my own, so there's always that creative clash. So I began to rethink my idea and dovetail the two into a bit more than a coffee bar, a bit less than a restaurant, and that sort of landed me exactly where I am now.
Well, and you know, I've been to your cafe several times, and it's the perfect atmosphere for someone to engage the guest. I mean, you have this long bar where you can have the barista serve you your fantastic coffee drink. And that interaction is much more present than a lot of the other cafes that I get to go to, where it's everyone sitting on their laptops, which is sort of the bane of my coffee existence. But I think you've really managed to do that well. It's interesting to hear that that was one of your goals.
Yeah.
Setting up.
And the tricky part for us is conveying that sort of idea, because you get it, and there are a few customers who understand that it's a coffee bar that's to be enjoyed like a liquor bar, and that you can take advantage of the full counter space. You can engage people in different areas and create your own little space. But I think people are so trained and so in the mind frame of sort of ordering, picking up, and going to the table, which I guess is the current New York model of a coffee bar. So it's interesting to sort of see people like you grasp the idea right away, or take their time and sort of adapt to it. Both ways work, and you know, I'm enjoying watching it sort of develop.
Tara, have you seen other concepts like this one, where you can see a mix of people that go and actually have fun during the experience of having the coffee, and people that go at the same time and just go for the coffee and get out of it and mm-hmm. go real fast?
You know, I was just recently in Stephen's Cafe.
This morning.
Very recently.
And what I said to him right away was, you have a restaurant here. And so it's just amazing to hear how, you know, what you had thought you were originally starting with, and now, you know, with your coffee shop, I think you actually really do have that restaurant piece in there. And people can definitely, you know, they are engaging in it. They're part of the whole experience.
You're in an area, I mean, you're in the heart of Soho. You're at 399 West Broadway. And you are, even though there are several restaurants that have been there for many years, you are the local spot. You are that spot now that your neighboring businesses are coming to 2, 3, 4 times a day. So have you seen that reception building? I mean, has it just been instantaneous that you had all those customers?
It's been pretty instantaneous, and it's been the most rewarding part of any of it, is that, and this is sort of how I landed on such a location, but looking at a community that no longer sort of had a focal point, you know, like Soho has such a rich history of creative people and smart people and hardworking people, and spending time in Soho, you no longer see where everybody sort of meets up. So it's great to see that sort of happen and meet our neighbors, get regular business people on their way to work in other neighborhoods, on their way to work in the neighborhood, just out for their morning coffee to go back and work in their houses. So it's the most fun part, I think.
Let's talk a little bit about the menu, because you have an interesting one. What was the process that you went through when deciding, what am I going to sell here? Price points, you know, all these different things.
Well, price point, and for me, I think a lot of it ends up coming down to practicality, because it's easy to sort of go through the original stages of everything and think that you're going to source everything by hand and sort of introduce yourself to these farmers, and they're going to drive down once a week with these hand-picked items, and it's going to be very, very honest. And
violins are playing in the background.
And these hummingbirds are sort of placing all the food into your refrigerator. And that just becomes like so impractical, because the pace of business in New York is just so fast, and you want consistent service, you want consistent product, and you can't rely on those sort of things. So it sort of derails that sort of hand-picked, artisanal, you know, overly small version of life, and you get to sort of find the business version of that, which I suppose is like the commerce side of right. of melding everything, the art and commerce. So that's sort of where it all comes to.
Tara, you probably hear people voicing these desires when they're starting out, and what do you usually say to them? I mean, is that
I think that you have to, you know, I certainly appreciate, Stephen, where you're coming from, and I think that, you know, starting out with really what you're looking for and keeping to that, but knowing that impracticality of running a business, it's, you have to make the business run, and you have to, you know, in order really to achieve what you want and to bring guests back, then you have to really look at it in terms of, how should I say, you know, the practicality, of, as you said, in terms of running the business and ensuring that the numbers make sense.
Correct.
And that's the hard piece, yeah. is, you know, really starting out with, you know, this honest approach to sourcing everything organically and local, and certainly sourcing the best people, but then, of course, really looking at it in terms of the finances.
We're going to take a quick break here and enjoy some coffee that Gaylene has poured for us. We'll be right back with you on the Caffeine Stream.
Somos Honduras, el puente.
Welcome back to the Caffeine Stream. We'd like to again thank our sponsors for this Sunday show, Fairway Market. Gaylene and I and Tara and Steven Sadoff are drinking some delicious Stumptown coffee from Honduras, the El Puente. We've had it brewed for us here by Roberta's today in a French press.
Which is actually very balanced. I don't know, what do you guys think about the coffee? I think it has a really nice balance to it, right? Acidity.
I think balance is right. I think it's interesting putting these sort of more acidic coffees onto a French press. That's the sound of balance.
Yes. Yes. Balance in our mouth.
The sound of good, I think. Goodness.
Well, getting right back to it, Gaylene, we have a lot of questions for you guys. We're going to try and get to it. And if people miss out on some of this, they can tune into the archives at heritageradionetwork.com.
We were talking about the menu and how to choose the right menu. And I think I imagine that's key to differentiate your shop from other shops. So how do you manage that? And this is a question for the two of you, to see what your point of view is from on that.
Do you want to start on this one?
Sure. Well, for myself, working with different clients that are opening up coffee shops, really putting together your menu is a big piece because it depends on, you know, who the target market is, uh-huh. sort of what your location is, where you're going, you know, who do you see as your regular guests. You also have to look at the type of hours that you're having. If you're open at, you know, 7 in the morning, or you're going to be open, you know, starting at 11. In addition, you know, it's, do you want to have just coffee? Or I would say in Stevens, you know, with his coffee shop, do you also want to add in, you know, other menu items? You want sandwiches and salads. And then you have to think about really where your sales are going to be and what the price point is. So, you know, in terms of an average check, and when Steven, I'm sure, is looking at his numbers and when he was thinking about how to plan his menu, you really want to think about, is it going to be $3 that, you know, one person is going to spend? Or possibly is it going to be $11, $12? And that makes a big difference at the end of the day for the sales. And for Steven, you can definitely...
Yeah. You know. The idea of just selling coffee to me is frightening. You know, watching everybody walk in the door at a check average of, you know, $5 is a world apart from what somebody who might have a background in fine dining is used to, looking at people as who are going to spend upwards of $50 a person. And you sort of add that all together, and paying bills it makes sense, and you can figure out how it works. $5, it's a lot trickier, and you have to serve a lot more coffee. Mm-hmm. So there's that side of the food that is important to me, and that it allows me to do more because there's more income. The other thing is that, in my opinion, the coffee customer, the specialty coffee customer, is a pretty educated palate and an educated person. And it's the sort of thing, if you go into a coffee bar, any, I guess, third wave or high end or however you're going to identify them, if you're going to go into one of these coffee bars and say, you know, where can I get good bread or a good sandwich or a piece of cheese? You're going to get a 30-minute answer on, well, you know, this is really great. You could go for this. And these are people who are enthusiastic about food. And enthusiastic about sourcing ingredients and going for what they want. So I figured, you know, may as well put the two in one place, which was met by some resistance at the beginning when I was just talking concept-wise, because people are married to the idea that when you walk into a coffee bar, you should smell nothing but coffee, and that should be there. And the food should sort of just be this little bite to line your stomach to drink more coffee.
I am guilty of that. No, Tara and Gaylene both know that this is the direction I come from.
And it's totally valid. What sort of flips that around, though, is the smell of melting cheese. You know, and that sort of people are like, man, that smells great. What is that? And you, you know,
and you get
people
the
get hungry,
right? And you get the non-coffee drinker as well.
Correct.
Which is very important.
And I love that you're, you know, that you thought about that when you were opening up your coffee shop. And, you know, I think it's also with a coffee shop, it's about creating that experience and that overall brand experience. And as Stephen is saying, that if, you know, for a real coffee aficionado that's just really into where the beans are coming from and who's roasting the coffee, they're also going to certainly know, you know, want to know about their sandwich, even if it is just a sandwich. It's just as important to them.
I'm really curious about the coffee side of the menu, because I've noticed that in many coffee shops, it's really, really similar to one another. So I'm wondering if that has to do with the fact that maybe the main coffee suppliers are the same and people rely on their expertise.
They dictate it?
Or is it something that you think that that's part of what people want? Or where does it come from?
So you're talking about the drinks themselves or the beans?
The drinks themselves?
Coffee has a sort of rich history already, and apart from the one or two signature drinks that you'll see at certain cafes, the coffee customer already knows what they want, you know, and they either come in and will always drink a cappuccino of a certain size or a coffee of a certain size, or once in a while we'll sort of vary and go from less milk to more milk, from bigger to smaller. I don't know how much room for inventiveness there is at this moment. Certainly it's not within my power at the moment. I have yet to come up with something that has caught on.
Stephen, let me ask you, because what I've noticed around Manhattan is that the coffee menu is the coffee menu. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your standards on there. But I think what some coffee shops I've noticed are playing with the different size cups.
Yeah, and that is the most maddening part of any of it.
Yeah.
And especially when you have to sort of work backwards and the ceramic cups have to be the same size as the paper cups. And it all sort of stems from an original recipe of a certain size, so that you've got the original sizes, and then if you want to stick to a cappuccino being a 6-ounce drink and a latte being an 8-ounce drink, you can only serve one size. Right. But I refuse to do that, because that's forcing people into a habit, and you're sort of forcing an education on people who aren't necessarily looking for that, and that's sort of presumptuous, and that's not what I'm looking to do as somebody in the hospitality or a business. Or
you're very giving. I mean, I've been to your cafe a bunch of times now. The last time I was there, I noticed you had 6 cups lined up, graduated down from the espresso, the demi-tasse.
Oh my God, that's gotta be a
all
nightmare.
The way up to a very large latte.
It is, and it's insane, and it's laughable, and I, at the moment, refuse to do it any other way. And we've gone back and forth, and I've debated on how to change it, and we've...
Well, Tara might have some solutions here. I mean, I'd like to also say at the same time that your staff is fantastic. And in the most polite way possible, the woman behind the counter, when I said, wow, you have a lot of cups, she said, yes, you know, we're working with this on the customer.
So Tara,
what's That's your funny. Suggestion on, you know, how to work through the cup issue? Because I know you're a one cup girl, just like me.
You know, I think, you know, when you're opening up, or if you have a coffee shop, you know, you want to, there's two things. You really want to be able to give to the guest, you know, what they want. Absolutely. These are your customers. These are the core people that are coming in. At the same time, you know, Steve and I got to ask you the question in terms of operations. It sounds like, you know, how do you train your staff to know exactly, you know,
the recipe?
Yeah, the recipe for either a small cappuccino or a large cappuccino. And then let's say they're, you know, either to go or to stay.
Right. Fortunately, in this case, the raw materials that I've been given, which in this case is the staff. I couldn't be more lucky. My staff has been phenomenal. And I keep a pretty open dialogue with them and sort of say, this is my idea. Does it work for you? Does it work with the customers? And I try to keep an open platform for that. And I think there is one. I think we have a dialogue. They could be talking behind my back right now, but
thank God he's at the Heritage Radio Network talking about coffee and not here talking to us about coffee.
But sort of it's all very simple because you're looking really at three ingredients in all these coffees. You're looking at the coffee themselves, you're looking at milk, and you're looking at air. And everything's just, that's what milk sounds like when it's fresh. And you're just looking at different proportions of them all. And the model that I guess exists now is that you have your standard amount of coffee, and all that changes the amount of milk. And then it opens the dialogue for an enthusiastic staff to volunteer. You know, if you're going to get a 12-ounce cappuccino, you might want to add more coffee because all you're adding otherwise is more milk. And if that's what you want, you're more than welcome to that, you know? And that's what frustrates me as a consumer when I walk into a place and there's one size, because I'm still sort of the greedy American who wants a massive cup of whatever it is, you know?
We're going to take a quick break now and then get back to talking more with Tara and Stephen on the Caffeine Stream. Thanks for coming back to the Caffeine Stream. We've got awesome music on today from Aerostratus, some new songs.
Awesome music, awesome coffee, yeah. And awesome people.
Yeah. So, we're lucky. Gaylene.
Yeah, we were talking about the coffee and the recipes and the sizes of the different cups. And I have to say that I like very much Steve's approach, because I feel like my drink has been customized. And you know, that makes you feel like somebody's doing something else for you, and it's definitely part of the experience. I'm very curious to know about the coffee itself, and how is the process of picking a company, a supplier that is going to be giving you the best quality coffee. What are you looking for when you're choosing the company that you're going to work with? Because that's a big part of the success, sure, of the coffee shop, I'm sure.
For me, it all starts with finding a coffee you enjoy drinking, mm-hmm, and that you see being applicable to the New York crowd, which may not be entirely coffee people, you know? So you've got to think sort of, what is this going to taste like to somebody who's used to buying coffee off of a street cart, or who's used to going to Dunkin' Donuts? So with that, it's hard to find these specialty coffee roasters who create these stronger coffees that translated for me. And I found a few. I'm with a coffee now that I'm quite in love with. It's been great lately. Same goes for the espresso, because the espresso coffee you put into the drinks is huge. It goes into, you know, half of all the drinks you make. And yeah. You need consistency, you need the taste to be right. And then for me, what changed everything is finding a coffee roaster whose sales team was more present, was a little more business oriented, and not sort of taking this backseat to commerce and more concerned with the artisanal quality and the hummingbird delivery system of, you know.
And provided you with training as well.
It's universal that people provide training and service to the equipment, and that's sort of built into the model already. So for me, it was a personal relationship with the sales team themselves, who in my case happened to be in the neighborhood, that they were grounded and understood that my bills were due every month.
Tara, I'm actually very curious to understand, because I see that Steve has a lot of like personal relationship with his coffee and the taste of it and everything, but for a general business, a coffee shop that it really has no specific preference on a coffee supplier or a coffee itself, what would you recommend as the main variables there?
Well, certainly, as Stephen said, is you have to love the coffee. You have to love it because you're going to be selling it. You're going to be drinking it. Your staff is going to be selling it. And you want your guest to be as in love with it as you are. In addition, you know, it's choosing your coffee roaster is like choosing a partner in business. And a coffee roaster really is your partner. They're there to help educate about the coffee, where the beans are coming from, how the beans were roasted. They're there to help you, you know, with training on the barista machine, on the espresso machine, and about the coffee, and creating a program for you that works for your business.
And once you've decided specialty coffee, they're generally the same price, which I know is something that's pretty important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the pricing is definitely, you have to see what works for you. And specialty coffee, the prices have definitely increased a little bit over the years. And there's, you know, here in New York City, specialty coffee is really, I'll say, you know, a lot of chatter. It's definitely more and more roasters are moving into Manhattan. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing is the relationship, the partnership, and the service. And so, you know, Stephen, I have to ask you, you know, I see so often that coffee shops will be set up and the roaster will set them up. And then it's, you know, maybe 6 months, a year later, and I know you're a new business, that the roaster maybe is not as, you know, I'll say tight with the business as they were maybe at the beginning.
Sure. I could see where that happens on both ends of the spectrum. You know, I can see where the roaster has sort of begun to trust the coffee shop themselves and takes a back seat and lets them run things on their own. The other side to that is that they might just lose interest. You know, they've sort of set everything on their way and don't have enough manpower or enough drive to keep on top of everybody. And I've noticed both sides sort of show themselves within the first 3 months of my business. So I don't know what the real answer is yet. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a major challenge when you're starting the company.
Yeah. On my end of things, dealing with roasters, sure. And it's the specialty coffee industry, I think, is still in its infancy. So you don't have the same infrastructure that you have when you're buying meat or milk or bread. And it's sort of, you know, the growing pains that I have to go through in my first three or four months now, I'm still dealing with people who are going through their own industry growth changes, which is difficult.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably challenging, but at the same time, you know, as a coffee roaster, as you're growing, they're growing,
exactly,
which is a
great
relationship.
And I have to say that I also think that it's very challenging for the coffee roasters because it's not a product. It's not a product that you just bring to the shop and forget about it. You have to help them prepare it. It's a product that can change depending on the beans that they bring, and it's very, very challenging to be able to provide service, training, and, you know, some coffee roasters even provide machines. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole different world.
Steve, right now you probably feel pretty comfortable in where you are at the 3-4 month mark.
This room, or are you just
in your shop?
I don't know how comfortable I feel, and I don't know that I will ever feel comfortable, because I think maybe then is when you become lazy.
Right.
So,
well, I guess in a sense it's a good thing, but I think, you know, day to day it seems like your days are fairly seamless there. I'm wondering where you see yourself going. And this was a question that, you know, we were talking about before the show. What's going to happen 3 months out? I mean, you didn't open just thinking about the third month and, you know,
yeah, this is it.
Starting to go flat.
I've already started looking for retirement homes.
Right. So, you know, where are you moving towards?
The next big step for me, I think, is a beer and wine license, which should come through within the next month and sort of rounds out, I guess, the day for us, you know, because right now, we can only stay busy to a certain time, and there are only so many people that are going to drink coffee after 6 p.m. And I just see, you know,
the neighborhood.
I'm sorry?
The neighborhood might also require that kind of service.
Exactly. So we can stay open later, continually serve coffee, and then the people who are interested in sourcing beans from around the world and looking for these sort of interesting cups of coffee will be able to come in. We're putting together the start of a really interesting wine list, and sort of the interest is there. The community is there. So the people who can come by in the morning for a cup of coffee are welcome to unwind with a beer in the evening.
And you'll still have those coffee customers.
Yeah.
All morning long, they won't feel compromised, but you'll be able to spend the entire day then at your cafe.
Correct.
And so, Stephen, you know, I think this is one of the very interesting areas about a coffee shop is being able to provide that beer and wine later in the evening, because coffee unwinds at around 4, 5, 6 o'clock, you know, at night.
Sure.
And then you're still paying your rent and you still have, you know, everything there to provide for. How do you feel that you're going to be able to make that transition in terms of, do you have to do anything differently in your store to go to the beer and wine at night?
Yeah. And that's sort of a new discovery we're going to have to make. I can make sense of it now in my head, how it's all going to work. And the people who I have on staff right now are all very enthusiastic and very capable and smart and educated. But they can't work for 20 hours straight, right? So there are going to be new shift changes and sort of new protocols, and that's it's going to be part of the fun. You know, it'll be maddening for a while, but we shifted from going from pure coffee to coffee and food pretty well, and I think this will just be a next step that we, you know, we should be able to tackle.
Well, I could say probably all of us are very excited to go there.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to be very interesting for you as a business case, mm-hmm. to understand how did it work and why was it successful?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's absolutely very, very achievable. But I think it's one that really needs to be thought out and needs to be really cared for, and engaging your current guests in offering now this new product.
Sure, sure.
What about the next 2 to 5 years? Where do we see the New York retail coffee market in general? Do you see that coffee shops are going to be becoming the Steve's model, or do you see how do you guys see it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that the coffee market here, there's a lot of independent shops that are opening up, certainly like Stephen's. And then there's, you know, and Stephen said, you know, a coffee shop, but a little bit of a restaurant type, where you can really offer more of a full service, more, I'll say, day parts for your guest. But then there's also just straight up espresso bars in the city now.
And they're doing well.
They're certainly getting a lot of attention. They're getting a lot of guests. But, you know, for me, it's always, if you're looking for expansion and if you want to have additional shops, then you need to have additional funds to open up the next shop. And I think certainly I would say with Stephen's model, I think that allows him to do that a little bit faster.
Right, the promise of alcohol sales.
The alcohol, the sandwich, you know, as we were talking earlier, that sales for a coffee could be $4.
Yeah, especially with New Manhattan's real estate.
You started talking about, I mean, your team is interested in this becoming part of a wine and beer engagement as well. One of our questions is always, you know, how do you retain staff? And well, you retain staff by giving them incredible training, and now you've opened up this whole new business to them of beer and wine.
Sure. And I guess that's always part of the trick in the hospitality industry, is that you have to hold on to staff and you have to be part of a team and part of a family. But it's always going to be a rotating cast of characters by the nature of the industry. And you have to embrace that. And, you know, I have. And right now I'm with a good team. We're losing a couple key players over the next few weeks and have taken on some new people. And it's just, it's something I've been through before and something I enjoy. It's the constant change. It's new blood. It's new energy, new problems.
What do you recommend, Tara?
Yeah, you know, I think that absolutely in the retail environment, you're always going to have turnover. You have to, if you're going into the business and you're opening up a coffee shop, you have to just accept that one. But what you can do is try to diminish your turnover. And I think certainly by doing that, you know, really having a training manual in place, letting yourself, you know, first really understand the culture of what type of coffee shop you are, what makes you different, what makes you unique, and then, of course, giving the staff tools to really succeed.
Like a training manual.
I mean, a lot of staff maybe leave because they're just not feeling like they know what their job is. So the best thing you can do is really set yourself up for success. And that certainly includes the training manual, just how to work the espresso machine, maybe how to clean it so that way Stephen doesn't have to call in a maintenance guy, you know, person to come in. So simple things really to keep the shop moving and to make it as fluid as possible. And then I would say, you know, the last thing is, and, you know, certainly going to Stephen's shop, it was a great experience, is what is that guest experience that his staff is giving to everyone that walks in the door? And that's an important piece.
Great. Well, this was an awesome experience today and a great cast of characters. We actually have run out of time yet again, and I know we could talk to you for hours. So I just wanted to thank you so much, Tara Berman and Stephen Sadoff, for being here today with Gaylene Quinn and I.
Well, thanks for having us. Yeah,
thank you.
And thank you very much again to our sponsor, Fairway Market, and to our engineer, Nat Wiener, and our producer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for tuning into the Caffeine Stream.
And hope we can have you again soon.
Thank you.
I love gold.